Well, good morning again. For those of you who are not in the room this morning at the beginning, my name is Tanner Griffith. I'm one of our pastors here. So glad to be back with you this week as we continue on in our series that we're going through John called The Kingdom of Love. If you were not able to receive one, we have a John journal. Some folks have called those the Johnnels. I think that's kind of a funny name. It's appropriate. We have them at the info table for you. If you want one, please take it. If you need another one, please take it. We would love to get you just the Word of God. As we walk through this series, we just want everyone to engage in Scripture. That's a real true hope for us, is that you will take the Word of God and you'll put it in your own life. This morning, my own daughter was able to get a Two Roosters gift card because she memorized, you know, the Philippians 2 verse this Sunday, which I was like very proud of her for doing that. And if your kids, you know, did that, remind them to talk to Pastor Jared or myself. We'd love to give them some glasses and Two Roosters ice cream there. Here's some important questions that come out of this reading. What does God get mad at? It's a really important question in our faith. What does God get mad at? Who does God get mad at? You know, I think we have our own views of God, and they inform a lot about what we think. And in this text, we're actually going to see he's not actually angry at anyone, really. He's angry at what's keeping people from him. But God gets really mad at things that keep us from him. And in this way, I want you to consider that God's anger is such a good thing. He gets mad, and because he gets mad, there's actually like really, really good news. He hates sin. Do you know what sin is? Something that keeps us from someone, from God. He hates sin. He hates it. He gets mad at it. He's not getting mad at a person. He's getting mad at this thing that keeps us from him. Today, we're going to be going on this journey to this new feast. You know, Jared, last week, there was another feast. What type of feast was it? It was a wedding feast. It was a marriage. Now we get a different type of feast. And whoa, what a different type of environment he's created. In this first, the wedding feast last week, no one knows how much life and joy he's brought to this party. There's like a couple people, you know, his mom and these servants understand that he did this amazing miracle, but it's all in private, right? They secretly run out of wine at this wedding. And Jesus secretly makes all this wine. He does not stand up and say, hey, I'm fixing this party. He just fixes it. And goodness, it sounds like it becomes a really good party because he makes a ton of wine that's going to last. They cannot run out of this wine. But it's a very private miracle that he does. This is the opposite of private. He's at a new feast. He's at the feast of the Passover, and he's going to go public. He's going to get really mad, and everyone's going to see him. I mean, it can't be two different or opposites of stories here. One is this pretty amazing private miracle that brings life to all these people. Now we're going to see him go public with his anger. And strangely, I think it's an amazing reality. It's an amazing story here. It's going to show what his kingdom is all about. It's a kingdom of love. Not a kingdom of barriers. It's a kingdom of love, not a kingdom of barriers. If you take notes, I'm going to break this sermon into like three sections. I'm going to first talk about the temple and the whip. The second piece I'm going to talk about is the temple and the lamb, L-A-M-B. And finally, I'm going to talk about the temple and the curtain. So we're going to get into just this passage. We're going to dive in. But before I do so, I'll just ask God to help us. So let's take a moment. Let's listen. Let's talk to God. God, would you prepare us? Would you settle us? God, we walk in today and we're holding on to a lot of different things this morning. God, would you help us be present in this setting? God, would you open up our ears to hear your word? God, I pray that you would help us see you get angry. And I really push into how do you look when you're angry? What are you really angry about? And God, would that let us just draw near to you? God, help that not keep us away, but help us draw close today. God, we ask you to do your work in your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's look. This is a really public event here. I want to do something on the stage. I want you to see the temple. Do y'all know what the temple is? The Jewish temple? What was the temple? It's where people met God. Okay, so the temple was where God was. I mean, I'm going to arrange this. These are going to be walls here, okay? So this is kind of how the temple looks. This is the outer wall of the temple. The first place you would walk into was the outer courts or the court of the Gentiles, okay? So this is what these walls represent. Are you with me? Court of the Gentiles. The next court, does anyone know what this was? Court of the women. So there's not the men, but the women. Then you got to the court of Israel. Walk through another door. It's not completely all of Israel, but it's those that are not unclean and men, basically, would be here. And a lot of us know what's that last space. Do you know what that last space was? The Holy of Holies. In between these two walls, it's the Holy of Holies. Where we're going to be today, this is where God was, the Holy of Holies, okay? We're going to be all the way up here, the court of the Gentiles. You can kind of see who's closest to God, okay? You get to kind of see how this works. That's not how God thinks, okay? That's not how God thinks, but we're going to be here today in the court of the Gentiles. This takes place in the most far outer courts. If you know anything about the makeup of the temple too, there's this awesome kind of hangout place outside. The porch is what it's called. So this place is massive. It's spectacular. We're going to be in the court of the Gentiles. Let's read what happens at this feast of the Passover. This is in verses 13 through 17. The Passover of the Jewish people was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, "Take these things away and do not make my father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So Jesus shows up at the temple. We've seen him before, and if you've read through the Synoptic Gospels, you get to see him really. He's really young. He knows what place this is, the temple. He calls it his father's house. Did you? He was lost once. His parents come up, and he's like, "Didn't you know where I was going to be? At my father's house." This is his father's house. The temple represented where God was. Jesus loved the temple. He loved it. And he walks in right after we get him commissioned by John the Baptist into his ministry. This is his first public feast. And he walks in from off the porch into the outer temple or the court of the Gentiles, and he gets mad. What's going on in this court? It is a ton of activity. It is, imagine the noise in this place. What are the animals that say are listed here? Sheep, oxen, pigeons. I mean, just imagine that. Everyone in Israel that traveled into Jerusalem, a lot of folks would actually not bring in the animals that they needed for their sacrifices. So in some ways, you kind of get that, hey, a lot of these people need these animals. But goodness, he walks in and it is the noisiest, kind of craziest. It is an amazing marketplace is what has been the court of the Gentiles has turned into. So why is he mad? You know, don't people need, you know, these animals? Well, here's a couple reasons that I think he's really mad. Jesus knows that this temple was to be a place where people met God. So do you know who could come into this section? It's Gentiles. It's those that are, if you don't know that language, this is the Hebrew word for just the nations. It's those of you that are not Jewish by descent. So if you're not Jewish by descent, which almost every single one of us in this room, you know where we'd have to go? Here. We'd have to be here. Well, you know what happens when you turn that place into a marketplace? Where can we go? We can't be there. People become excluded from entering into the place where God is. It is so good that Jesus gets mad. Jesus hates barriers. He hates barriers that we put up for people to meet God. He hates them. And so what does he do? Like, in your imagination, go with me. This is a wild room. This is a room of complete, in my mind, a lot of chaos. I mean, imagine where you're like, I would be so like stressed out walking through this place because I'd be watching everywhere my foot stepped. You know what I mean? There's like a bunch of sounds, a lot of smells, a lot of noises. Just like, oh my goodness, like walking through there would just be such a place of stress. And Jesus sees a barrier. The Gentiles, they had a place to worship God in this place, but not anymore. They were getting spaced out. They were getting pushed out. And Jesus knew. Jesus understood. This is not like a necessarily a knock. I think there's a little bit of a knock on the economics here. But he knows that people need these animals. But he's like, don't do it here. Do not do this in this place. And so he starts, I mean, just imagine in this court, there's a lot of going on. There's all these animals. So I just imagine, you know, with oxen particularly, there's probably a lot of leather lying around. And so what people get to do is they just get to see him up in this space walking around, and he starts picking up leather, and he starts, you get to see, he starts making or fashioning is the Greek here. People start seeing that guy that John the Baptist just called out in a very public way, what is he doing? He's making a whip. He's about to start this very public and righteous rage that's teaching something. I think it's totally controlled. It's total, but he is infuriated and he starts making this whip. We need to ask, what is Jesus mad about? Some of us in our own faith, just our consciences ourselves, some of the criticism we received as kids, some of the criticism we received in high school, our developmental years. I mean, we just think we have this like problem you know, we're really bad people. And if you, some of us, we might not say it this way, but we really wonder, is Jesus mad at me? Like if Jesus, if I saw Jesus, and maybe he's mad at me. And I want us just in this space to know and see what Jesus is really mad at. What he makes a whip for is really different than what we think. A lot of us, particularly when we sin, particularly that sin, you know that sin that you struggle with, like ongoing. It's like when you come to time of confession, you're almost sick that again this week I have to confess that same thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sin that's just like there a lot. We think that's definitely the sin that our God's just mad at. And I think in some ways, for sure, he's mad at that sin. I just want us to be careful that that he sees as different than us. That sin that we struggle with, you know why he hates it so much? It's because it keeps us from coming into his presence. We think this is what I need more than God. This will make me, like Adam and Eve, this thing will make me happy. God's rules, his commands, they're not designed to give me life. This thing that I want, I think that's going to bring me life. And Jesus is just, his madness in this situation was towards barriers. Our sin does create some barriers. And so what I do want to hear is, man, when you look, when you kind of maybe imagine this story and maybe you try to personalize it to yourself, imagine his anger not being at you, but imagine it being at the thing that's keeping you from him. Do you see the difference of that? How incredibly important that is for us to know? What does that mean about how much he cares for us? Someone that will get mad cares. Yeah, this anger in him is something that's really good to consider. He hates these barriers that keep us from his presence. He wants to drive all this clutter, all this noise, all these animals, and he wants to get it out. In the Synoptic Gospels, he tells you why. He says, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. It's singular. There's a singular vision for God's house. There's one thing. It's a prayer. And you know what? He adds, for all nations. This is the court of all nations, the court of the Gentiles. It's a house where you come and you meet God for all people. He has one vision of what this place is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about the noise, about the sacrifices. It's supposed to be about prayer. This is what his house is about. So they respond. They know he's teaching something. It's kind of amazing. One commentator put it, they all knew this was wrong. They think the crowd knew, like, oh, finally we're getting rid of this marketplace in here. Like, because there was these kind of almost like temple police that would regulate what happens in the temple. But for some weird reason, he's not stopped. And it's almost as if the folks go, yeah, we kind of knew this was wrong. It's about time that this happened, that we got this marketplace out of here. So they're just very interested. So the Jewish people said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jewish people then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it in 3 days. But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This section I'm calling the temple and the lamb. So there's no real lamb here. You're like, what are you talking about? They say, Jesus, what sign are you going to show us for like us accepting? They knew this was some sort of teaching. I mean, he goes in there, he's flipping the tables, the coins are flying all over the place, he's driving out beasts and people. And they know in his controlled way, they are actually still very able to engage with him. Hey, what sign are you going to show us to show us that this is real? You know what he basically says? See me die and see me rise again. He goes to the cross. He goes to what John said. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He says, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Watch this. This is the sign I'm going to give you. Jesus wants them to know, he's doing something where he's like, I want to be with my people. How will you show us that you want to be with your people? I'm going to die for them, and I'm going to rise again. The cross is the center of this book. I mean, it's just at the center. It's like, it's from every single story so far, the cross has been like alluded to in some very interesting ways. John the Baptist tells us, man, look at God in his first public display. Here's who God is. He says, behold the Lamb. Not this like roaring lion. Look at the roaring lion that's going to devour his enemies and destroy it. It's like, look at the Lamb. And again, Jesus says here, I want us to focus on the temple and the Lamb, that he's the temple. He's like, destroy this temple. Now he's talking in a language that's very different. He's the temple. He is the place where we meet God, where God dwells. If you want God, you know where you have to go. There is no other place than Jesus Christ. The way to God is Jesus. He is the temple. He is the Lamb. We are going to see he is the high priest. All these things in the sacrificial system, it's Jesus. He's the temple. He's the true temple. The place where God dwells, he's standing right in front of them. Destroy this temple, and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. What a loving God. I just, in my mind again, I had to bring up this picture of this lamb. It's like when Jesus wants us to see him, he wants us to see something that is not threatening. The whip is not aimed towards you. It will be aimed at the lamb. He says, you want to see? You want a sign? There's going to be another whip that is fashioned. And I'm going to take it on my back. Look to that day to see how much I want you to see that I hate the barriers that keep you from me. Look at my back. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side. Look at the Lamb of God that is slain from the foundation of the world. If you want to see how mad he is at what keeps you from him, look to the cross. He hates the things, the sins that are keeping you from him. He hates when people are just kept out. Hey, you got to move out. You don't have a place to worship today. He hates it. His whip is not pointed towards us. It is pointed towards himself. And the final thing we get to see, or I want to lead us to is like, let's go look at the cross. Let's go to the cross. And I'm calling this section the temple and the curtain. In Matthew 27, we get to read of Matthew's version of what happened at the cross. And this is what he says in verse 45 through 51. He says this. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until about the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain. Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. Amen. At that moment, something radically happened right here in the temple, the Holy of Holies. There's this huge curtain that separated the men, the women, the Gentiles. One person could go into this place and be in the Holy of Holies. But Jesus is like, I'm going to give you a sign that nothing can separate you from me. And it's his death. And what happens? This thing splits in two. And in some ways, it destroys all of this. All of this is destroyed. Those prayers that the Jewish people, some of the rabbis would pray, thank God that I'm not a woman. It's crumbled. They weren't here anymore. You know, the Gentiles, they were not here anymore. God was in some ways unleashed to humanity on that day. The curtain, the system, it's gone. He hates the barriers that keep us from him. He will make whips to destroy those barriers. He comes to you this day and he says, if anything in your heart thinks that I'm against you, I want you to look and see what I'm really mad at. I do have some anger. I have some rage in my heart, and it is not towards you. It is not towards you. It is what is keeping you from me. And he says, look at one place. Please turn your eyes towards one place, the cross. Look at how I loved you. Look at me. See the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God that's taking away the sin of the world. What does that mean? He's taking away the sin. He's taking away the thing that keeps you from him. Here's the good news today. It's done. He finished it. The sin of the world's taken away. You know, that's called the gospel. He's destroyed death in his death. He died on the cross and he rose again. And you know what that means? It's done. The sin's done. You know where God is in this moment right now? Here. With you. He's been victorious. He has declared, it is finished. It is accomplished. I have made it. The temple curtain has been torn in two. There is nothing separating you and me. Nothing can separate you from me. Death can't separate you from me. Life can't separate you from me. Nothing has the power over Jesus Christ. So here in this place, we just today, we just say, Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything or person or power in this world. And nothing can keep you from him. Today, he wants you to know he's mad. He is mad. He is mad at the things that are keeping you from him. And he's offering you a chance to lay those things down. To put them, to get them out. Those barriers that you think you're in your way. He says, man, bring those to me. I want to flip the tables. I will crush those things. Give them, just give them to me. Hey, my pride, my lust, my greed, my just kind of this thing. I just think you're mad at me. Bring him that. He will flip the table on that thought. You want to see how much he cares about you? Tell him you think he's mad at you. He will fashion a whip to throw over those tables and get those things out. But we've got to come to him with our honesty. The curtain has been torn in two. God is with us. He has accomplished everything we need. For those of you who do not have faith, you know all that means? Like, you might be thinking, what do I need to do to like maybe believe that? It's just that, believe it. Jesus, the Bible uses the word of just receive. In a lot of ways, it's just receive reality. Walk in the real world. You're forgiven. Be friends with God. You can do that. So this morning, what is God mad at? How does he view you? He's mad at what keeps you from him. He views you out of love. Out of love that was displayed on a very particular place 2,000 years ago. On his cross. And in his resurrection. And today we come to worship him. Would you bow and pray with me? Jesus, thank you. Thank you for ripping that curtain in half. Thank you that the way you displayed your love towards us was on a cross. Thank you for taking all the sin of the world on your shoulders and destroying it. Jesus, we thank you that you rose again. I'm so thankful that you tell these folks, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And this, we come and we remind ourselves, you did it. You rebuilt it in 3 days. The dead is now living. God, help us to lay down what keeps us from you, to give that to you, to let you destroy it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.